In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Most Gracious, Most Merciful. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlil 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Love Your Life on Oman FM with me, Maya Al-Saeed. Alhamdulillah, today another day, another guest. And with me today is Dr. Yusuf Al-Awfi, who is a petroleum geophysicist. And he's been in the oil industry over 25 years, and he's completed all his studies in the United Kingdom. So you might be wondering, okay, what is a petroleum physicist doing in the studio today? He's always been, mashallah, in the his Islamic journey. Of course, he's a born Muslim, but he's always been his Islamic activities, and he's been in da'wah ever since an early age. And he's a volunteer at the Islamic Center at the Grand Mosque. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dr. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh.
Thank you so much for being here. So today's topic, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is one that I should have done a long time ago. But subhanAllah, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted me to meet you first, Dr. Yusuf, to listen to a beautiful presentation that you did on our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it hit me, like, Maya, you have been doing this show for the longest time, and yet we are talking about the Qur'an. We are talking about the Quran, and I have never put a certain episode or even more episodes to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I am so glad that, alhamdulillah, Allah alhamni, He gave me that, you know, push, like, you have to talk about Him, and I found the perfect person, alhamdulillah. Just before we begin talking the discussion with Dr. Yusuf, I want to remind you all that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to call us on 2460-2058. And just a note, any time that we mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to please send blessings after we mention his name, for by saying alayhi salatu wa salam. This is something that we should always do. So this is just a reminder, because we will be mentioning him a lot, to do that. Yalla, bismillah. So, Dr. Yusuf, as I said, yani when I heard your presentation that you gave in one of the da'wah workshops, I was sitting and listening as if this is the first time, subhanAllah, that I'm learning all these things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which is why I thought, no, Dr. Yusuf, I would really love to have you. And I remember I came to you after your presentation and I invited you, and without, يعني, within the same time I told you, ala tul, you agreed. Fajazakallah khair, and may Allah reward you for all your efforts. So let's start with this amazing human that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and sent to us. Let's talk about him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise are due to Allah, the Creator, the Cherisher, and the Sustainer of the universe. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all His prophets. Amen. And in particular, the seal of prophethood, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I greet all our listeners with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I thank you, Sister Maya, for giving me this opportunity to sit with you and to discuss among the best of the topics that we can think of. And this is, I regard this as one of the very important things, because, you know, the having a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a guide for us is something that is essential. I would say it is essential than more than anything else for us in this life. What made me actually indulge in this topic is first of all, my attitude towards the things from the beginning was actually I wanted to have a sort of a rational conviction with Islam, with the teachings and so on. I wanted to make sure that what I'm following, because, you know, we have one opportunity in this lifetime. If this finishes and we have been in the wrong path, then we have missed the opportunity. So it was very important for me from the beginning that actually to make sure that I am following the right path, logically thinking and also rationally studying. And I have, in this path, I have studied different religions. I have studied, I was in the UK for more than 13 years. So that gave me also an opportunity to intermingle with the other faith and have discussions. Also, because I was in a place, the University of Edinburgh, which was regarded as actually center of the Orientalist studies. Mm-hmm. And they had a department where they can study. They were studying different religions and so on. That gave me opportunity also to look at the literature which is there, both from the Muslim side, from the non-Muslim side, and it gave me an enhancement of my understanding since I went to that university. Now, the key point I wanted to actually, at the beginning of our talk, to discuss is actually the need of a prophet.
Very true.
Because do we really need a prophet? Do we need somebody actually to tell us what to do and what to not do? And that was something that was not bothering me, but it was something that I wanted to understand. What is the reason? Why do we need to have a prophet, and why do we need to follow somebody's guidance and so on? So this is very important for us. And if we look at the universe that we live in, we live on this earth where we have ample evidences that we have been created.
Yes.
We have ample evidences that there is a creator behind this universe. So we don't want to go into the discussion on this part, which we can also discuss and so on. But because we are discussing about the prophet, we will jump into this. Mm-hmm. But we need to have that start. Is we believe that there is a creator. We believe there is God, who has given us this life to live on this earth. And now if we look at surrounding us in this on this earth, we see that all our necessities are being fulfilled by the Creator.
Alhamdulillah.
So if we look at the basic necessities or what goes beyond those basic necessities, actually they have been given to us in the way of sustenance, which is given. And if you remember in the beginning, I says all praise be to Allah, the creator, the cherisher, the sustainer of the universe. So he is the creator because we didn't have a choice to be born or not to be born.
True.
So it is God's decision that we come. Yes. We didn't choose or we didn't select the time that we are born. Why we are here in this century or not two centuries ago or not 2 centuries after.
Yeah.
This given to us by the Creator that he has prescribed for us and decreed for us to be in this particular time. I didn't choose to be a man. You didn't choose to be a woman.
Mm.
You didn't choose your parents. I didn't do so as well. We didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our height, our color, the country that we are born. All of these are given to us by the Creator. So this life is given to us by the Creator. But it's not only that he has given us this life, he is also sustaining this life. So the basic necessities, we can find those resources on the earth, actually, that are given. You know, today we are in the month of Ramadan, and one of the objectives of Ramadan is actually to gain that what is described in the Quran as taqwa. And what is that taqwa? The taqwa is actually to become God conscious. How does Ramadan helps us to become a God conscious? Is through the hunger and thirst and remembering the favors and the bounties of the Creator. So he has fulfilled from water, from food, from all those basic necessities that we have, they have been fulfilled for us. And with all this advancement in science and technology, we are not able to make one drop of water out of nothing. And I keep on saying this in every opportunity that I have. With all this advancement in science and technology, and we claim to be so much advanced today, we are not able to make one seed out of nothing that we can cultivate, and it will give us the vegetables that we are eating or the fruits that we eat. So our basic necessities are actually provided to us by God. Not only that, but actually even not the basicness, everything that we have is coming from what God has given us. So from the clothes that we are wearing, from the table that we are sitting on, or the chair that we are using now, everything comes from the resources that God has given us.
Yes.
Now, the key question here is that, does it make sense that the one who has provided us, or and he who has given us all this provision, and he has given us this life, would leave us astray without telling us what is our objective on this life?
No.
Knowing the objective is much more important than fulfilling our basic needs.
Yes.
It's much more important. Say, for example, if you are given a job, what is more important is to know where your desk is, what your tools are, what computer you will be using, who are your colleagues, or it is much more important what you will be getting paid for. What are your tasks and targets?
Yes.
What are, at the end of the day, when they come to give you your salary, what are the things that you should have fulfilled? Of course, knowing your tasks and targets is much more important than knowing the rest of the things that you will be using.
Mm.
So for us on this life, we know that we have been given this life because we exist here, but we also know that our sustenance is provided to us with all those facilities. So is it more important to know those, to have these basic necessities, or it is much more important to know what is our task and targets and our role and objective of this life? Definitely knowing the objective is much more important, as
Definitely.
We gave from the example. So that is highlighting to us the need that we have for the guidance from the Creator. And as you have been going through this show, talking about the importance of the Quran, if you look at in the Quran, actually the first thing that we are advised to seek and ask God is actually that guidance. You know, if you open the Quran from the beginning, what is the first thing that we are taught to ask God is, اِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. اهدينا الصراط المستقيم. Because that is the most important request we can have for the Creator, is to guide us to the right path. Without that guidance, we cannot really live on this life. We don't know what we are. We will be just like the animals. They don't know what they're here for. Of course, the animals, they are following the objective or the wisdom that they have been created for. But we will become like them as well. Not fulfilling the actual wisdom of our creation. So we seek that guidance from the Creator, and that is the first most important thing for us. So then the Quran tells us that we have given you that guidance. So the first verse that comes after that in the second surah, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Here is the answer for your request that you have putting, or you were taught to put in front of God, that, oh God, guide us. We have given you this guidance, which comes in the form of the Quran. Now, so the guidance is much more, the most important thing for us in this life. Now, how actually we can implement that guidance? What is the way? Because I will read the Quran and come up with things, and there will be somebody else who will come up with, he will read the Quran and he will come up with other things. But they have to be an implementation or an example which is given to us by,
which we will share right after this short break. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya El Saeed. If you've just joined us, I have with me in the studio Dr. Yusuf Al Awfi. We are talking about the mercy of mankind, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right before the short break, the doctor was talking about our need for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I just interrupted him while he was talking about how we can implement
The Quran.
The Quran. So please.
Yes. So now we have been given the guidance that we have been asking for. It came in a form of revelation to the humanity, to the whole humanity. And very clearly in the Quran, when you read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually, when he describes the month of Ramadan. And by the way, for all the listeners, the word Ramadan in the Quran, do you know how many times it has been mentioned, the word Ramadan in the Quran? It's actually only once. The word Ramadan has been, as Ramadan, has been mentioned only once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it is linked in the same verse with the Quran. It says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. So here, if you read شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ, the month of Ramadan, in which Quran was revealed. In which Quran was revealed. Why? هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. It's not for the believers. It's not for the Muslims. It's not for the those who try. It's actually for the whole mankind. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. So the Quran has been revealed for the whole humanity. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And it has come to clarify the things that have gone through, the humanity has gone through and changed. And Furqan, so it's actually a divider that can divide between the falsehood and the truth, and so on. So now this Quran has been revealed, and the month of Ramadan is special because the Quran was revealed in this month.
Yes.
And sometimes when I ponder upon this verse especially, you will see that this verse actually ends with لتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. So as if we are fasting to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for revealing the Quran. So this fasting is actually an act that we are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this guidance that we need on this earth to live with. But we come back to the key question that we are asking now. How can a person implement the Quran? Yeah, because if everyone comes with his own ideas, then there will be conflicts.
Because I'll have my interpretation of how I understood, and you will have, and all of that.
Yeah, so we need a practical example. And actually, the point about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending messengers is not something new that happened only to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first human being himself, he was a prophet of Allah, Adam alayhi salam, he was a prophet, and then since then God has been sending guidance to humanity through those prophets who were role models for human beings. There are practical examples that people can see and implement. Yeah, they cannot have an excuse that, oh, I didn't understand this verse, or I didn't understand that one.
Yeah.
Now, we have the whole life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is in front of us. It's actually written. And by the way, there is no other human being that we know so much details of his life except Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There is no other human being, whether from the live people or from the dead people.
SubhanAllah.
It's only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have so much detail from the days that he was born, even before his birth, and when he grew up, and so on, which is less important as in terms of the practical. But since he became the prophet, who actually we have so much detail that how he used to eat, how he used to drink, how he used to wear, how he would sleep, and all of that.
So you mean this in comparison to the other prophets that were sent?
In comparison to the other prophets, in comparison also for any human being, we don't have that much of details of the prophet. Definitely from among all the prophets that we have sent, we are told actually from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that Allah has not left this people, this humanity, since Adam ﷺ without giving them the guidance. So there were more than 124,000 prophets which have been given to humanity to actually follow their guidance. 124,000. It's not one or two or three. Yes, we don't know much about most of those prophets because it's not necessary for us to know. And God in the Quran has mentioned only 25 messengers by name whose life was actually had some substantial impact on our life. And that's why they were mentioned by the name. And even then, it's not a historical book. The Quran is not a historical book that gives you everything in details and so on, but it gives you the key learning points that you can extract from the life of each of those prophets. So God did not leave us alone on this, God did not leave us go astray in this life without giving us the guidance. The guidance was always, has been with the humanity. And today's guidance is actually through the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was given the Quran, who is an immutable book, which has not been fabricated or changed like the other. And by the way, this reminds me also a very important point. The Quran is the only scripture that we have on the face of earth today that claims to be from God, the book itself. Mm. Of course, a lot of people claim everything, but the Quran is the only book that claims to be from God. There is no other book. If you take any scripture from anybody else, from the other religions, and try to open it, the book itself will not tell you that it has been revealed. Actually, in the beginning, they will tell you that it has been written in so much so time and so on. They will give you the chronological order of the evolution of this writing of the books, of the scripture itself. And when you read in the text itself, it will not give you that feeling that you are reading something that has been revealed by the Creator. Quran is the only book in its current form. So I'm talking about the current form that tells you categorically that it has been revealed to us by the Creator,
and preserved,
and you will see that actually in almost every page is written. Anyway, I'm digressing quite a lot, but let me come back to my topic.
Before you do that, I'll just remind everyone that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to join the discussion with Dr. Yusuf Al-Awfi and myself by calling 2460-2058, 2460-2058. Dr. Yusuf, before we started, we did say we will probably need more than an hour, so you're more than welcome to come back and join, inshallah.
Inshallah, we'll see, inshallah, how it goes, inshallah. Anyway, so humanity are in need of a practical example. So and that's why God has been sending those prophets. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a role model, and the Quran categorically also tells us that he is a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. So whoever believe in Allah and on the day of judgment, then actually the role model has been given to us is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we need to follow. And then is actually the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. And then in other verse, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah has value in your heart, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, that is the path which is given to us. Now these are a number of different directions that I was thinking of. But also the other point is that any person can come and claim that he is a prophet. So should we just follow that person? Mm. Is there any evidence? Is there any truth that actually makes us be assured that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet from God? Definitely, I mean, if you look in the Islamic literature, and even from the non-Muslim side, they have studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very critical way. And a lot of Orientalists, they have also studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Muslim literature, you will see books like Dalail al-Nubuwa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are the actually evidences that make us prophecy. Be sure that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a prophet of Allah. But in our hands, of course, if we want to start with, we have the Quran itself. Mm-hmm. The Quran itself is actually a manifest evidence of, or manifest proof that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's where we need to start looking at. But also what we say is that a person who is claiming to be a prophet, he could be a liar, he could be somebody who has somebody who wants to lead, for example, he wants to become a leader, he wants to have followers, and so on. And by the way, all of those aspects have been studied, not only by Muslims, even by non-Muslims. So I mentioned that I was in Edinburgh University in the center of the Middle Orientalist studies, the Eastern and Middle Eastern studies. And there were more than one scholars mm-hmm. from the non-Muslims, Orientalists, who were studying the life of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the famous one who was actually regarded as a leader in the 80s and the 90s, 1990s and 1980s. He was regarded as one of the leaders of Orientalists. His name is Professor William Montgomery Watt. Mm-hmm. Who has already died, and he studied the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And there are a number of books that he has written, like the Muhammad, the Statesman, and so on, Muhammad, his life, and so on. There are a number of studies. And he examined the life of the Prophet. Could he be a liar, or could he be somebody who is concocting this? And he looks at the evidences which are there, which make sure that he cannot be a liar, for example. Let me give you just a couple of examples to give us that assurity. You know, one of the things that they studied, and this is not only by William Montgomery Watt, but I had it also from likes of I forgot her first name, Armstrong. She has written also on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is also a Jew historian also recently means in the last decade, also she has also written a book on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they mention about one particular incident, or actually more than one incident, that it cannot be from somebody who is a liar or somebody who is not really a prophet. You know what happened, of course, Sister Maya, you know the story, and most of all the Muslims, and maybe a lot of non-Muslims, they know the story where that the Quran revelation started in the month of Ramadan, as we said. But when was the first verses revealed? Of course, all of us know that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was at the age of 40, he was basically excluding himself from this worldly life and praying always in the cave of Hira, Ghar Hira. He used to pray there for days and days. He will stay there. He will take his food and so on, and he will just stay there remembering the Creator and so on. And we know that in one of those incidents, in one of those days, Archangel Gabriel came to him and he ordered him to read Iqra and so on. So we know the rest of the story, but now the point to make is that imagine if the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was lying and he was coming with this idea from himself. What would be his way of doing, of telling the people? He would come down from the cave, and he will, I have received the news. He will be celebrating, and he was telling everyone that look at what happened to me. I've got a message, and so on. If he was concocting it, but what was the way of the Prophet? He was shivering. He was in fear. He went to his wife straight away, and he was telling his wife actually to. So that reaction by itself is one of the evidences that he could not have made this up on this. There are a number of other incidents. One of them is related when he was in Medina, and now he is the leader after so long time that the people were actually against the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Mecca. And they were against him, and they were torturing him and torturing also his followers, and they were boycotting him. He was put in so much hardship and torture and so on.
Sorry, I have to stop you there. Miskin, Dr. Yusuf gets into the story, then Maya stops him. This is just so we can go on a short break, and we'll be right back. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya Al-Sa'id. With me in the studio is Dr. Yusuf Al-Awfi, and we are talking about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Dr. Yusuf is saying nobody will call, so please prove him wrong. And please join us with the discussion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by calling 24602058, 24602058. Sorry once again for interrupting you, Dr. Yusuf, but... You were talking about when you wanted to give us another example about anyone who wants, you know, the claim we were saying, if somebody wants to come and say that he was, can anyone be a prophet? So you're just giving us another example. And here you were in talking about the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina and he was being tortured.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The torturing part actually was in Mecca. It wasn't in Medina. Oh. So that was in before the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Mecca, the beginning of the prophethood years has been very hard on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in one of the incidents, some of the leaders of Quraysh, they came to the uncle to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. In this case, and they said that, O Muhammad, if you want to become a leader, we will make you our leader. If you want, by spreading this message, you are actually, your aim is to become the most wealthiest among us, we will give you the wealth. If you want to get married to somebody special, we will give you all of that. So basically, they were giving the Prophet, peace be upon him, a chance to get whatever he wants. Now, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and any human being today, I mean, can think like this, that, okay, once I will become leader, I will convince them all that they have to follow me, and they have to follow God, and so on. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them very clearly, if they put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left, and imagine if they were able to bring those planets for me, which is something impossible, but if they were able to do that and they want me to leave the mission that is that I have been given, I will not leave that mission for the sake of any worldly matters. So that is another example which is given to us. But when he also went to Medina, and this was early stage, the example that I have just mentioned. But later on, when they in that example, you know, because the Prophet was being put in such a hardship and difficulties and the torture, not only him but also his followers. So any human being, if he was just thinking that this is his own concocted idea, something that he has fabricated, he will think about the others and so on. He will say, okay, once I become leader, okay, they are Muslims anyway, they will be at least in peace and so on. But that was not the commandment which was given to him. He was given the task to give the message. Yeah, so that was he was following. But in Medina also, after a few years, now he was the leader of the community. He was actually had a lot of followers, and he had his own. Basically, the Islamic State was established by the Prophet, peace be upon him. In one of these years that were in Medina, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had a young boy, a child, yeah, who was born. He was only about a year or so old, a few months or a few less than 2 years anyway. You know, all the boys of the Prophet, peace be upon him, all the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually died in the lifetime of the Prophet. Some of them, the boys, all of them, they died at a very young stage. The girls, they stayed, and four of them, they got married. All of them also died in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for one, Fatima radiallahu anha, who passed away only about 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. And there's a point I want to make here. Often, you know, in our lives, we always get challenged, and we seem to forget that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also challenged. So, if the Prophet and even the previous messengers that came before him were always being tested, because this dar is dar al-imtihan. I always say, but we seem to forget because we have this ideology pushed that we have to live this perfect life and we can't have problems. And if you have problems, there's something wrong with you, or you're being punished. It's not that. This is just a test.
Exactly. And that brings us to the most important point, that why we are talking about this topic anyway. The Prophet is a role model. He's a role model for everyone. He's a role model for a rich. He's a role model for poor, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, has gone in the two different dimensions. He was rich. He was poor as well. He was one of the normal people. He was also a leader. So he's a role model for leaders. He's a role model for
all phases.
He was the judge. He was the ruler. He was a murabbi. He was a father. He was a husband. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, has gone through all those different aspects, and he's a role model for us in the different aspects in our life. But coming back to our example that we are talking about now, in this stage, what happened is that that young boy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son Ibrahim, he passed away at very young age. He didn't even reach 2 years of age. So when he died, incidentally, on the same day or same time, an eclipse happened. Now, people started talking surrounding. Now, in the Medina, the people started talking that actually this eclipse has happened because the son of the Prophet has died. So as if God is mourning for the death of the son of the Prophet. Now, the thing is that we imagine if the Prophet Muhammad was actually a liar and he was not really a prophet, he will definitely utilize this incident for his for his benefit and to increase the followers that he have. He would tell them, well, didn't I tell you that I'm a prophet of God and this, all of that? But actually the Prophet did not do that at all. What he did, he called for the prayer. So he gathered all the people and they prayed. He taught them what to do actually when this kind of eclipse happens. So there is a prayer which we know at Salat al-Khusuf or Salat al-Kusuf. And this is how we learned. And then after the prayer, he gave a speech to the people. And he told them that this sun and the moons, they are signs of the Creator. They do not, this eclipse does not happen because of the birth or the death of anyone, no matter how important that person is. So, and they have been put as actually a sign for the humanity. So we need to look at them as such. These are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine if somebody who was a liar and somebody who was concocting, he would have, what would have been. And there are a number of incidents that they are similar to this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not utilize actually any of the opportunities that came to him for his selfish gain, which there were ample opportunities actually that came to him, which are giving us the evidence that actually he cannot be except a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, even in his characteristics, yani, we can learn so much just even from his character. Yani, to have that conviction and I don't know what's the word, but the focus is always being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been given, as the example you said earlier, so many choices to derail, you know, I'll give you this money, you want wealth, you want whatever it is. But he's always been steadfast, mashallah, tabarak rahman, on that. And that to us is a lesson. Yes. With now all the fitnas that we have, all the, you know, life pulling us left, right and center. Can we really be like the Prophet? Yes, we can, but it's not easy. Yes. And even for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was yani, a human like us, he had feelings, he had emotions, he went through what we go through, but he has always chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that in itself is something for us all to be aware of.
He knew the objective. He knew the objective of this life, and it was very clear to him. But and that's what he was bringing to his followers as well.
But doctor, we all know our objective. If you ask any Muslim outside, what is your objective? My objective to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a huge difference. And then people come to say, but you see, he was a prophet. So it's يعني, كأنه, it's easy for him because he was a prophet chosen by Allah. It is not easy for him.
That is not correct. And if that was the case, then God could have sent an angel. It doesn't. It wouldn't have to be a human being. And this is the argument actually. We have, why is it some of the disbelievers, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was telling them that he has been selected as a messenger of Allah, then they were putting this argument, why is it not an angel? And the answer was given, ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا. If we had selected a human, an angel to be part of you, we would have still made him a human being like you. وللبسنا عليه ما يلبسون. And then we had made him go through similar kind of feelings and so on, that because it is important for us to take somebody as a role model who feels like us, who goes through the same kind of sufferings and pain and so on. If he is not, then people can argue, just like what you are saying now, he is a prophet. No, but he is a human being.
Yes.
Actually, people, when they argued also, these disbelievers, they argued to the Prophet why he is not an angel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered to them, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَبَعَثْنَا فِيهِمْ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. If it was angels who were actually walking on earth, and this they required a messenger, then it will be an angel who would be sent to them. So it has to be from the same nature.
SubhanAllah.
From the same nature. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, was from among human beings. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, the only difference between me and you, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَحْدٌ. The only difference is that he is getting the revelation directly from Allah, and he is the means of transmission of that message from Allah. But there is no difference from any other things that we are from the human being point of view. He has to be a role model for us, and for him to be a role model, he has to be a human being just like us. So he has gone through all kind of hardships that we feel. And you reminded me when you were describing this, that in one of the incidents, Umar radiallahu anhu entered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was lying down. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was lying down. So when he saw Umar, he sat. And when he sat, Umar radiallahu anhu saw in the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there were marks of the garment that he was actually lying on. It has made some red marks and so on. So the Umar radiallahu anhu, he cried. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, are we not on the right path?" He said, "Yes." "Are we not following? We are not God's creation and so on." He said, "Yes." He said, "How come the king or the emperor of the Persian and the Romans, they are sleeping in nice
comfort,
comfort and so on, and you are the Prophet of Allah, the best chosen, and you have to go through this
challenge."
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam straight away reminded him that what is actually the role of this life, and what is the role of the hereafter. And that was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When in one of the incidents, some booties were brought after the Muslims, they conquered one of the cities. So some booties were brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had some very nice jewelries, and they had some nice clothes as well, garments and so on. So the companions, they were astonished by the softness
of the
and the touch of one of the garments that was brought, and it was put in the front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he noticed this in them. So he said to them, "لَمَنَادِيلُ سَعْدِ بْنُ مُعَاذِ." Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's actually he is from the Ansar. And one of the companions, he relates, he says, "We used to regard Sa'd ibn Mu'adh from the Ansar the same status as Abu Bakr in the status of the Muhajirin." So he is the one of the top of the Ansar, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, who died after the battle of Trench, Al-Ahzab or Al-Khandaq. So this incident happened after the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling them the manadil, you know, the handkerchiefs. he says the handkerchiefs of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh are much softer and better than what you are looking at, this soft garment that has. So this link, the Prophet ﷺ were always actually bringing that mindset to the companions. He was always make them focus on the hereafter. our real goal and the objective is the hereafter. It doesn't mean that we don't live our life in a luxurious way if we have that flexibility and that possibility. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still, although he was given that choice, and a lot of companions and so on, they used to bring their wealth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would distribute them straight away. He would not actually even stay until night, except that he would have actually distributed whatever was given given to them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had always that objective, that he would not let anybody sleep hungry, and he was actually filled, and that was the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that mercy was covering everything, and that reminds us now to the topic that we are talking about, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy to the mankind.
There was an ayah that we talked about earlier, and I had said it wrong, so I don't want to say it, but you had told me that there were two interpretations. But before you say the ayah, I just want to remind people that this is a live show. There's about 10 minutes left, and if you have any questions or you want to share something with us with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please do by calling 2460258.
Of course, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a mercy to mankind. And we read that also in the verse in Surah Al-Anbiya, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you except mercy to mankind or humanity. Now, if you look at the verse, you can get two meanings out of it, and they are complementary to each other. It's not that they're contradicting each other. One is that which is commonly known, that the Prophet is a mercy to mankind,
yes,
which is correct as well. But also, if you look at the verse carefully, it can also mean that the sending of the Prophet is a mercy from the Creator to the mankind. So those two meanings are there, which are complementary to each other. Indeed, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has been sent by the Creator as a mercy. Imagine if we didn't have the guidance on this earth, how would our life would have been? Today we have that guidance, and still we see the mischief on earth. We see people are dying for no reason, and this is starvation, and this bloodshed which is happening. And we have that guidance in our hands, but still there is this kind of mischief. Imagine if there was no guidance at all, and people were living in a jungle, basically. And unfortunately, that is the status that we are seeing before our eyes of the situation that is happening today. So the Prophet, the sending of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a mercy. But also when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see that it is actually full of mercy to mankind. And this mercy, if you look at the verse, we translate it as mankind, but it doesn't really say mankind. It says lil alamin. It's actually to the whole world. So the different creations. So the Prophet is a mercy to the environment. He's a mercy to the animals. He's a mercy to the mountains. He's a mercy to water. He's a mercy to everything that we can think of. And if we look at the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see that he has given us the guidance in every aspect of what in these things that we mentioned. So, for example, if you take the animals, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known to be very merciful to the whole different animals. So, for example, in one of the days he was invited to have some food by one of the companions, and he went, and this companion had a garden in which there was some camels. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a camel, and he was sort of rubbing his hand on the back of the camel. And he called the owner. He said, "You are the owner of this camel." He said, "Yes." He says, "This camel tells me that you have been hard on him." And he gave him the two things that he is being hard on him. He says, "You don't give him enough to eat, and you overburden him with weight." So and he felt that he had tears in the eyes of the camel. In another incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was actually not allowing, you know, those people when they were practicing or experiencing throwing the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So they were taking birds, the small birds, as targets. So they will practice by sending the arrow actually to target the birds without wanting to actually utilize to eat or anything.
Mm, just for the sake of practice.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited to take these birds as actually targets for this. In another incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw one of the companions. He was actually putting marks, burning marks, on the face of the animals just to recognize his goats or his sheep or from the others. So he was putting the marks on the face. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited him from doing that. And there are many incidents in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in one of the journeys, they went and they decided to camp in one of the places, and the companions, they put on a fire. So the Prophet asked them, why are you putting a fire here in this place? And they said that this is a sort of, I don't know what's the word in English, it's where the a lot of ants are living.
Mm-hmm.
Colony, excellent. an ants colony. So, and the Prophet asked them to put off that fire. He said, why you are doing that? They have not done any harm to us. Move, you have the luxury actually to move somewhere else instead of burning this ants together. So he ordered them to move. So from the small ants to the big camels and so on, the Prophet had a number of incidents where he had the water, for example. We know the water today. He had even mercy on the water in a way that we are ordered not to spoil water, not to waste water, not to use water for nothing. So much so that we are not allowed to steal water from somebody, or not allowed to deprive others for water. I mean, we see that today in this world that people are actually deprived of water. So the Prophet is talking about if you have a river, or you have a what we have as a fallage or something, and you know that it is passing through your place, and you know it is going to somebody else later on, you're not allowed to block that water and not allow it to go to the others. Mm-hmm. So that justice is there. So much so that if you know, did you know this, that if the water is stolen from somebody else and you make wudu out of that water, that wudu is not accepted.
I didn't know. You know, extent,
you have to have the lawful water actually to make the wudu from. Otherwise, you are stealing the water, and then you are using it to pray to God. That much of details are there, showing the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the spread of the justice. Not only between the human beings, but also between human beings and the animals and the environment.
Mm.
Even the mountain, the Prophet ﷺ used to say that this Uhud is a mountain that the mountain loves us and we love the mountain. Jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuh. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, and he used to give a khutbah, or he used to give his lessons and teachings to the people in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi, when he was leaning actually to beside a tree, until the companions, they decided that they wanted to build for the Prophet a member where he can rise and he can see the whole of. So when that was done, they heard, or the Prophet heard the. It's called Anin.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the crying sound
of the
crying sound of everything. We call it Anin. But for this, it was the tree that was crying. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has left the tree and went and selected another place. So the Prophet went back to the tree. To give, and that was actually the connection between the Prophet and the different things. And the Prophet, the companions, the Prophet ﷺ was a role model. So they used to imitate the Prophet ﷺ, even the small things. Things they even they wouldn't know what is the reason for the Prophet to do that. In one of the incidents, I think it was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. He was passing by, and his companions, his follower, was with him, and they reached a place. And what Abdullah bin Umar did, I think he either bowed down while he was on his ride, either it was horse or camel, or he came off and it and bowed down and walked in that place. So his companion asked him, why you are doing this strange thing? You have never done anything. He said, once I was with the Prophet ﷺ, just like you are now with me. So he was, Abdullah bin Umar was, he says, there was a tree here in this place. So at the time when now Abdullah is, there is no tree there. So there was a tree here, and the Prophet ﷺ bowed down and he walked. So I'm imitating the Prophet ﷺ in the way that he's. So this was the way of the Prophet ﷺ. That reminds me of the bow down.
We have to, okay.
Okay. The bow down reminds me that the Prophet ﷺ actually prohibited us to take the backs of the rides of the camel or the horses as couches.
What do you mean as couches?
You know, the sofa that we have to sit. Now, today we are sitting on this chair, yes, and we are discussing with each other.
Yes.
Let's say that the two of us were riding a horse or camel or whatever, and then we meet each other on the way.
And we stop and have a conversation.
And we stop and we have start having a conversation. So the Prophet is prohibiting us to stop and have that conversation while we are on the back of the camel.
So we should come down?
We should come down, discuss for how long we take. Yeah,
and then go
and
back.
And then we continue.
SubhanAllah. He has mercy. We have 1 minute, and I knew this is not going to, 1 hour is not going to be enough. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, I hope that whatever that was shared by you is a reminder for us all to take, in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model, because he was sent down for many reasons, for mercy, as Dr. Yusuf has mentioned, but also as a role model for us, how to live this life, every aspect of it, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fajazakallah khair, Dr. Yusuf, for coming on today and reminding us of this. And inshallah, we look forward to having you again with Allah ta'ala when your time permits. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. This was Zaman FM, your show, Love Your Life. And inshallah, tomorrow we are back with two friends, Samah and Zina, inshallah, to find out more about their friendship and the Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.